Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we journey to Rovigo, Italy, and we have our guest, Daniel Rainey. Daniel is a retired pharmacist. He's 53 years old and has been living in Italy since his retirement in February 2022. He graduated from the University of South Carolina with a bachelor's degree in science in 1991, and then went on to receive a doctorate in pharmacy from Mercer School of Pharmacy 4 years later. During his 30 years as a pharmacist, he's worked in both retail and hospital settings and spent his last 5 years managing an HIV specialty pharmacy at Walgreens. Now that he is retired, he is excited to have more time to pursue his passions for adventure and travel. He is particularly looking forward to restarting his love for skiing and kite surfing. Well, welcome, Daniel. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Hi. And tell our audience where you moved from and why you chose to live in Rovigo, Italy, and which cities did you actually visit before deciding on Rovigo?
So I guess I should mention me and my partner are living here in Rovigo, and we're both originally from the Northeast, and then we met each other in Florida and moved, as you mentioned, moved here just last year to Rovigo. We had traveled quite a bit and had the idea of retiring outside of the United States, but didn't really get a clear picture until a few years ago during COVID. We started exploring the citizenship by descent. So both of us realized we were eligible for citizenship through our family history, me through Ireland and Kevin through Italy. And so Ireland seemed like a less appealing from a weather perspective since it rains a lot. And Italy, of course, people always want to come here and travel. There's warm places, cold places here. It has quite a bunch of different options. And we didn't really know. We traveled to the main tourist areas, but we really didn't know what part of Italy we wanted to settle in. And we sort of focused on the region where we had connected with an Italian lawyer for citizenship, thinking that it would help expedite the process for our paperwork. And so we wanted to pick a place that was close to them that we could. And we happened to pick this place, Rovigo, where their main offices are located. Plus, it's also, and that wasn't the only choice, we wanted to look at the size of the town and also access to other parts of Italy. And it's immediately, the town is right on the high-speed rail line that runs from Venice, Italy, all the way down through Bologna, Florence, then down to Rome, and all the way through to Naples. So you can get from the north part in Venice in an hour from here, or you can travel all the way down on a direct line to Naples in 4 hours, four hours, I think it is. So that was appealing to us also, since we weren't planning on having a car here, at least not immediately. And so that's how we settled on Rovigo.
And how long have you been there?
So we started this journey. We both wrapped it up with work, happily wrapped it up with work last January. We both work in retail. Kevin has worked grocery his entire life, and I worked pharmacy, hospital, and then ended up in retail. Stressful jobs. And so we decided to leave January of last year. We put on our resignation and finally sold our house. And we got rid of all of our stuff and came over to Rovigo. But since we've been dealing with the citizenship paperwork still, we just recently are able to stay in Italy full time. But during the last year, we had to travel in and out of Italy because we were still considered tourists. So we could do 90 days every 180 days.
Okay. So you had to come back and forth.
Yeah. So we did a lot of traveling the last year so that we would be able to meet that expectation or that. And so we bought the apartment in 2021 in October, sight unseen. And then we moved in February. It's the first time we saw the apartment was when we were moving in. And then we were here for a month. Then we had to leave for 3 months. Then we were back for 2 months in the summer. Then we left again for 5 months. And now we just officially came back to permanently stay January 15th. So we've really only been in Rovigo for 5 or 6 months total, maybe 4 or 5 months total. So not very long.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations on being there permanently now.
Yeah.
So, okay, you were going back and forth. And now, where does did you get the citizenship papers all settled and now you're permanent resident?
Yeah.
You can apply for permanent residency.
Right. So the reason that we were delayed coming back the 5 months is we were originally supposed to have our appointment Kevin was supposed to have his Italian appointment with the town last October, but because of there are sort of a surprise election that happened in Italy last fall, everything with all of the citizenship got delayed. So our appointment went from October to January. So we had to enter the country with 90 days free on the visa. So we couldn't come back in October and wait for our January appointment. We had to wait outside of the country an extra couple of months and then come back. Now that we're back, we arrived on January 15th. Kevin had his appointment on the 31st. And then just last week, the steps have been going really quickly since we've got back to Italy. So Kevin had his appointment, and then both of us met with the comune to apply for residency. The police then came to the apartment 2 days later to verify that we actually did live here and that we had an apartment. And now we're going to get our temporary permits of stay for both of us. And we will also we'll get our health cards to have health insurance, the national health insurance. And outside of that, so I would be eligible to be Kevin's domestic partner under Italian law. So they would recognize me. But fortunately, I have another backup option, which is my Irish citizenship. And that just happened to come in as we were traveling back to Italy in January after 2 years of delay because of COVID with Irish citizenship. The paperwork came through at the same time. And so we lucked out with that. So I'm actually tracking a package from Ireland that should arrive any day now. It was in Rome now, then it was in Padova as of yesterday. So it's circling the area. It should be arriving soon. Once I have that piece of paperwork, then I can apply for my Irish citizenship, which Ireland and Italy and France and Austria and 30-some countries are all part of the EU.
EU.
Yeah. So I, as an Irish citizen, I can stay in Italy. I don't necessarily need to be recognized under Kevin's citizenship. So I sort of have two options.
You have a backup.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a backup going. And did I hear correctly that you purchased your apartment?
Yeah, we did. We purchased it October, November of 2021 and sight unseen. And actually we got it through the same organization that we came across to do Kevin's citizenship. They actually have another department that does real estate, not just in Rovigo, but throughout Italy. So wherever we decided to settle, they would have helped us with both. But yeah, they did a great job helping us. They did videos of the apartment. After we narrowed it down to some specifics, they did videos of the apartment, and then they did all the paperwork. We gave them the power of attorney, and they were able to do all of the paperwork for us. So yeah, we paid for the apartment.
While you were in the US?
Yeah, everything done there.
And they did everything?
Yeah.
Video. That's pretty cool. Yeah. What made you decide to buy right away when you kind of didn't know Rovigo and what that was all about? You know, that's kind of, I'd be nervous.
Yeah. We got a lot of information about Rovigo, so we felt more comfortable about the town, and it was a good choice that we made But buying versus renting for us made more, we felt more comfortable just owning the property. And the cost of real estate is a lot less. Insurance prices, because they don't have, at least in this part of Italy, they don't have a lot of extreme weather events or earthquakes. So the insurance prices are low. So it ends up being, if you can do it, it's so much less expensive than, say, Florida and Fort Lauderdale, where we came from. It just makes financial sense when you add everything up.
The numbers together. Yeah, I often do that too. Weigh the differences. Should I rent? Should I buy?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Is it a house or a condo?
It's an apartment. We're second story. There is an elevator and stairs. We have two bedrooms and there's a balcony on each side of the apartment. I'd say it's maybe 1,200 square feet. So it's not huge, but really high ceilings. And it's a complex. I think there's only there's eight apartments in each building and there's six buildings maybe in this small complex. And then we're in the downtown area of Rovigo, where there's probably 50,000 people that live here.
Okay. And we'll talk about that too, as far as accessibility to everything else. So tell us, give us a picture, give the audience a picture of where is Rovigo located within Italy?
So it's in the northeastern section of Italy. We're 30 miles from the, if you direct line to the coast, we're 30 miles from the coast. It's probably 100 miles to the northern border, 120 miles to the other side of Italy, the other seacoast of Italy. It's, like I mentioned, it's an hour to Venice and an hour to Bologna. And then
where do you fly into?
You could fly, the easiest way to access is to fly into Venice from here. Although when we flew from into Rome and then took the train up, which is about 3 hours.
Okay.
But Venice is only an hour.
Great. Okay. So tell us about the weather.
Yeah, it's mild here. So I always had heard that the climate in Europe is so mild compared to the United States. And I've lived in different places in the U.S. I grew up in the Northeast. I lived in Florida. And I never really understood what that meant. We don't have high winds here. The summers are, I'd say, high 60s to high 80s in the summer average. Although it can get hot. In the worst parts of July and August, it's probably a little bit higher than that, but 86 to 66 in the summer and 35 to 55 in the winter time.
That's not bad.
No, so we're in the coldest part of the winter right now. And if it's overcast, it's chilly. But if the sun does come out, it feels like a nice day because you don't have the wind here.
Right.
And we're low-lying near the sea and there is some fog. This town is known for having some fog, but it's not that odd. I'd say in the wintertime, maybe 4 or 5 times a month, you get a heavy fog in the area. So it's not too bad.
Sounds good. Sounds a lot better, a hell of a lot better than being in the Northeast right now.
Yeah. And then when we lived in Florida, we had all the rain and the heat in the summertime. So people think that Florida is so wonderful as the Sunshine State, but it's pretty brutal in the summertime.
Oh, it is. And it rains every day. That's why. But where from the Northeast are you originally from?
Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia and Kevin's from New Jersey, right outside of New York.
Okay. Because I'm from New York. So New York City.
Yeah. He's from,
we're all from the same area.
Bergenfield, which is, I don't know if you know where that is. Bergenfield, right outside.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So does Rovigo have a large expat community? Have you gotten the chance to meet any expats?
Yeah. So we have through the lawyer and then we actually, well, there's the lawyer that has doing our citizenship and does real estate. Actually, we're discovering a lot of people have settled for the same reason we did, sort of picking Rovigo out of ease of access to them. But we also have had the opportunity to take Italian lessons. In Rovigo, the states or the country subsidizes language lessons for new people that are new to the country. So we can take group lessons with other people that have immigrated to Italy. So through those classes, we've met some people that also are in Rovigo as expats from the United States and gotten on a chat group, finding out different things that they're talking about and with their citizenship and problems that we're running into. So there's a decent community. I was surprised. There's a fairly large community of expats here. Yeah.
Cool. It's always good to build community.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, in a foreign country, it's difficult, you know, understanding the language. And if you find those people, that's really good to keep those relationships going.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been great.
Start a Facebook group, Rovigo Italy.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea.
Yeah. So, okay. Do you find the language being a problem?
So you definitely notice in Rovigo, if you go to a larger city in Italy, they tend to speak more English because they're used to dealing with tourists.
Right.
But Rovigo, we do get some sideways looks as to why we're here. And I would say that, say 40, 50, 60% of your interactions in a large city, you'd get by with English. But here, I'd say 10 to 20%. So it is a struggle. But Italian people are very patient. I'd say that's true of most European people because there's so many languages spoken everywhere. And
right.
They're pretty patient with... just today, we were in the grocery store, and Kevin is fearless when it comes to tackling situations with language issues. So he was looking for something in one of the aisles and was trying to find it, and just pulls out his Google Translate, and the lady was standing right next to him, waiting for him to type it out. And there really is not. I can't think of a situation where someone's gotten frustrated or disappointed with us because we didn't speak the language, and we are learning. So
that helps.
Yeah, we're making an effort, but still, I mean, there's a lot of situations where you just don't know the words. So
right.
It hasn't, I mean, it's been a problem to take extra steps, but if you have the patience as they always seem to, then it's not been a problem.
Right. Everything's a little bit slower also, I believe, in Europe on itself.
Yeah, but we're retired, so we could take it slow.
That's right. Right. Exactly. Now it's that second chapter where you can take it slow.
Yeah.
Here in the United States, everybody wants to rush and, you know, do 5 things, 10 things at once.
Yeah, I noticed that we walk at a different pace when we're going down the street. Kind of laughable.
Slower.
Yeah.
Yeah, here it's, well, you know what? Another good thing, you walk down the street there, you probably don't look over your shoulder.
Yeah.
As much as you do here.
It's very safe here, extremely.
And we'll talk about that as well. So, okay. So I'm picturing Rovigo as a smaller town, even though the population you said was 50,000.
Yeah.
Approximately.
I think that I looked it up. It's about 50,000.
Okay, so I wouldn't think that there would be an LGBTQ area or neighborhood. Is there?
So, not that I know that there's a neighborhood, but there's definitely a visible community here. So, we've noticed it. So, we've only been in and out of Italy for the last year, but we did go to a fair last year. And they had a bunch of different booths set up for community organizations. And one of them was an LGBT a booth. So we were rough with the language and didn't really feel comfortable with since we're coming and going. But I think we'll try to reconnect with them at some point and see what that's all about. But you also notice, like, we've gone to a couple of the stores that obviously there's been some, you know, recognition, or you could obviously tell that there's certain members of the LGBT community that work at certain stores, or, and they've been, you know, friendly to us. And so we don't feel uncomfortable at all. And so we're going to explore that more, but we haven't really had a chance to yet.
I understand, while we're on the subject of LGBTQ community, I understand that Italy doesn't perform same-sex marriage, but they do recognize it. Because they're part of the EU, and the EU says, hey, we recognize same-sex marriage, but they don't have to perform those marriages. Is that correct?
Yeah, they won't perform them in the Catholic Church. and they don't allow adoption. But besides that, you can have a civil union in Italy, and they have the same rights recognized as a marriage in a church, except for that it wasn't marriage under the church and you can't adopt children.
So you can do a civil union, and technically, I remember back in the day before marriage in the United States, we had civil union. In fact, I was civil unionized before I was married. It's so complicated.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you can have a civil union,
yes,
in Italy, and that pretty much gives you all the rights,
right,
of marriage,
right,
but it's not called marriage and you can't adopt.
Right. So if you have issues with, you know, healthcare, being recognized as a healthcare advocate for the person, I guess it would be called.
Right.
And then also for property rights, if one person dies, the other person does get recognized as the remaining sole survivor of property inheritance.
Right. The joint.
Yeah. Yeah. So all that.
So that's
works.
Recognized. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a little bit more comforting to me.
Yeah.
Because before I heard that it wasn't recognized at all and that was it. But now that you're mentioning that they do recognize civil union, at least you can, you know, you have some rights there.
Yeah.
So I hope they work on that and get married taken care of.
Well, so I'll give you a good example that's a bright spot in all this is that even though I have this Irish citizenship backup, and we did understand that I could eventually be brought in as a partner, or that they would recognize our partnership eventually, we thought that it wouldn't be until Kevin finished his complete citizenship situation. But when we went up to the town office the other day and applied for citizenship, the lawyer brought with her three forms, one form for each of us individually and one of us together, because she wasn't sure how they were going to go forward with it. And
right.
They recognized us both on the same form, no questions asked.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Congratulations there. So they don't have any gay bars, I wouldn't think.
Not in this area. They do have gay bars in Italy, obviously in the larger cities, but they don't in Rovigo, not that I'm aware of, no.
Can you tell us what the local economy is like? So in other words, if you were to go to Rovigo and rent an apartment, a two-bedroom, two-bath, what does that kind of sound like in the neighborhood of, and purchasing an apartment such as yours, what would that look like as well?
Yeah. So you can actually go on a website. It's called idealista.it and look up property in English. You can transfer the language over to English and look up information. And you can look up rental properties and purchase properties. And just to give you a ballpark, I actually have a relative of Kevin's that was interested in rental. And so we gave him that information, but also looked up some values just the other day. And in the downtown area where we're located for an apartment, the rental prices range from $300 a month to a real basic place, probably a one bedroom, maybe an efficiency, all the way up to $700. I didn't really see anything much higher than that as far as rental units in town for apartments.
$700 is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're 700 euros.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when you go to the larger city, I also looked up in Florence, and the rental prices are 1700, 2000.
Yeah.
You know, more in line with a large city in the US.
Right. Right. How about apartments such as yours, an approximate?
Yeah, purchase properties for an apartment like ours, they range depending on how upgraded it is. You could go from $100,000 all the way up to $300,000 for an apartment
That's an expensive too.
Yeah, yeah.
Considering the U.S. prices.
Yeah.
And how about real estate taxes? Do they have estate taxes?
That was surprisingly low. I was shocked.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. So I can't remember, but we do have to pay sort of an HOA fee here for the apartment units. So they maintain the outside of the buildings. I think it's like $1,000 a year, maybe $1,200 a year. And then taxes are maybe a few hundred dollars a year,
That's what I was told elsewhere, like in different countries in the EU.
So
it's pretty low.
Yeah, the taxes that you pay will avoid, because the taxes that you pay are on income. So Italy has high taxes on income, but low taxes on property. If you have a second property in Italy, then you're going to pay higher taxes. But initially, the one property is pretty low. So yeah, I'm still trying to understand this completely, but we have low property taxes, only a few hundred dollars a year. And then we have to pay in Terry taxes and something else that have to do with garbage. And I forget, but you know, all told, we're paying for everything, for all the taxes, we're only paying, I don't know, maybe between probably around $1,000, less than $1,000 for taxes.
Taxes and HOA, or?
And then HOA on top of that would be the $1,200. So everything altogether is about less than $2,500 a year.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering my HOA cost $700 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. We paid.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. We paid high HOAs when we had a place in Florida also.
Yeah. Excellent. So how about electric bills and utility bills and phone bills? What's that look like?
Yeah, very low also compared to the U.S., at least what we were paying in Florida for a house with a pool and air conditioning, and it was expensive. But here you pay utilities every other month. And for this apartment, for water, electricity, gas, because we have a gas stove and water, electricity, gas. And we also have a radiator heating and electric heating both. But so everything all together per month is probably, and then if you want to add in Wi-Fi and cell phone to that too, I would say between $200 to $300 a month, depending on the time of year, for everything all together.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a bonus in savings alone. You know how air conditioning prices are in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's pretty same in Phoenix. It could go really high in the summer, like $300.
We live in an older apartment that's not necessarily efficient. So, you know, we don't have the greatest windows. It's a nice place, but it's older. So still, even though we're not well insulated, where we're leaking some dollars out the door, it's still that inexpensive.
Yeah, that's really good. And yeah, that's really inexpensive considering all of your expenses, including Wi-Fi and telephone and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So have you noticed any arts and culture kind of scene at all in Rovigo, or where do you have to go to get your arts and culture fixed?
Yeah, we do have quite a bit, actually. It's surprising. Every town in Italy sort of has its own focus on food, on culture. And so here in Rovigo, I don't know what specific food would be specific to Rovigo, but this town is known as a town for school of music. And so you can walk through town during a typical weekday. And I walk down this specific alley that I'm thinking about. And you can hear a male or a female opera singer practicing on the second floor. Walk down another road and they have a music school. So brass instruments or drums playing. And then they have quite a few museums, art museums. We went to a photography, Robert Capa photography display that was in one of the museums in Rovigo. There's probably five or six of them, and the small ones. But this one was a large display of this man's photographs, pictures taken in the 1930s and 1940s during the World War II. And then next week, we actually, through one of our teachers at school, she invited us to come with her to a guitar. This Venezuelan is here living in Rovigo, and he's putting out a CD. So he's having a little concert in one of the concert halls here in Rovigo. So we're going to go watch him next Saturday. So there's a lot going on. I can remember an antique car show here, or no, an antique motorcycle show here that we just walked past when we were here last year, that was on the main road. They have a lot. There is a lot of stuff going on. I've been surprised, and it's continuously being updated. And actually, I saw, and I haven't dug into this yet, but I saw this really strange picture. It talks about the season at one of the theaters. It's going to like dance that's going on at this theater in Rovigo, and it was all guys in ballerina outfits. There were seven guys stretched across the picture in ballerina outfits. So I don't understand whether they're just making a joke or it's actually going to be some sort of performance like that.
Or some gay performance drag queens.
So I have to dig into that a little bit more and find out what that's all about.
I got to Google drag queens in Rovigo and see what comes up. It's pretty hysterical.
Yeah.
So are you guys foodies? Do you like to enjoy different types of cuisine?
Yeah, we do.
And Italy is known for food. I know that.
Right.
And some good Italian food. Have you experienced any of that?
Yeah. So we've, of course, tried different things in Rovigo. And then we have the ability, because of the train lines, to travel outside of Rovigo and try different towns. Just this past week, we've been to Siena, Padua, and Venice, just during the last 7 days. And each town has its own, like we went to Siena and tried the peachy, it's P-I-C-I, just pronounce it peachy, pasta. And for lunch, we went down there for lunch, we had peachy pasta. And then I always wanted to try the panforte, which is almost like a spicy fruitcake. It's a thick pie that, you know, you cut into, it's just like a really thick fruitcake. And so tried that. It's just something that they make there that they don't really make in a lot of, they make in the Siena area. This is known for its seafood and different types of pasta. And Padua's close to Venice, similar kind of things. And in Rovigo here, we have some great restaurants. Every single little town in Italy seems to have because I've looked on the map as we're going down the train line and I'll see in the name of a town and I'll look up and see. And they have this restaurant that in the middle of some tiny town, a few thousand people, they'll have a really nice restaurant. Every town seems to have at least two or three. And here in Rovigo, we probably have 10 or 15 nice restaurants. There's plenty of pizza places, but nice restaurants also. We have a decent number here. There's one restaurant that's right up the street from us that we've been to a few times. It's not, doesn't have a Michelin star, but it's Michelin recommended. And it's not super expensive, but they have great local cuisine. So we've gone up there, I think, three times over the last year. And it's just walking distance. And enjoyed the food there.
You have your choice.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought pizza was invented in the U.S.
I think supposedly.
It was, right?
I don't know. But they're very proud of their pizza in certain parts of Italy. And it is different. Like you have Neapolitan pizza or Rome pizza. They're very different than the U.S. versions of pizza. We have a pizza place up the street from us that is walking distance. and in Italy you get an individual pizza for each person. So you get like a 10-inch pie. They're thin crust though. So you get a 10-inch pie. They have no joke, probably 30 different varieties of pizza. They put pumpkin on it, pepperoni, different things, and then different combinations of things. And the pizzas for those personal pizzas cost per pizza between $5 and $7. So really inexpensive.
Not bad.
No. So we both get a pizza of our own for, you know, $10 to $15, depending on what you have put on it.
You find food, cost of food is lower?
Yeah. Yeah. And the quality is better with the food. So Kevin has worked
again. Do you have markets?
We have markets. We have groceries just like the U.S. And then we have markets. So in town, there's smaller grocery stores and there are lots of markets where they just specialize in providing local produce, local seafood or local meats. And then if you go outside of town, there's the larger grocery stores that are similar to the ones that they have in the U.S. Since we're in town, we tend to focus on the smaller markets and you get only what's in season there. So you can get artichokes now, but you won't be able to get them in a couple months. Whereas in the U.S., if you go to Publix, which Kevin has worked in grocery all his life, you always get artichokes. But the flavor of an artichoke or a tomato off season or shipped or held in cold storage is not the same as it is if you get it fresh. Same.
Yeah. It's the same with fruits too. Like you can buy strawberries any time of the year, but they taste like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not sweet, stuff like that. So yeah. And are all the markets and is everything self-sufficient? Like, can you walk basically to the market, to the bank, to the any kind of store, to a doctor, to a pharmacy?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Can you walk everywhere?
Everything for us is within a 10-minute walk. So we did go to the larger grocery store this morning to pick up some things because the markets that we go to aren't open on Sundays. So we did walk out to the grocery to get some items, and that took us 20 minutes. But, you know, we've gone to the vet for Theo. We've gone to, I have a dentist in the area, our lawyer, the markets, the cell phone place that we've got our Wi-Fi set up and our cell phone set up. It's all within five minutes, maybe 10.
So you don't need a car?
No, correct? Really don't. The train station is the opposite side of town, and that takes us 15 minutes to walk there. But it's not bad. We're planning on getting bikes. We have, so with this apartment, we have a big storage area on the top floor. It's a walk-in unit. And then we also have a garage on the bottom floor to keep bikes. And you could squeeze a car in there maybe, but we can store stuff down there. So we'll keep our bikes down there. But we haven't done it yet. We're going to, I think, buy bikes soon to make it, you know, a little bit easier to get around.
A little bit easier.
Yeah.
You need, something to drive back with a little basket
on
your bike with from the grocery.
We're going to get one of those that you pull behind you, those carts.
Granny carts.
Yeah. Whether you could put like kids or dog in and put the groceries in there.
It's like a wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll get one of those.
Cool. That's one. Another thing I love about Europe is mostly all places you can walk to, you know, depending upon where you are. And everything is, you don't need a car. You have the rail, you have high-speed rail, you have local rail. So
as we get older, I've thought about how things might be different. If one of us ended up having mobility issues, we may have to change our situation. And we are thinking about the potential of eventually moving to a place where we have more yard space. We're thinking about all that stuff. But at this point, as we get settled in Italy and sort of understand what our needs and wants are, we'll stay here.
It's a good start.
Yeah.
Perfect. So Rovigo has a train station?
Yeah. Train station. Yeah. Like I said, like just.
And does it have buses too?
Yeah. There are buses that go throughout the area. We haven't really ridden the buses. I do think that they're pretty reliable on time, but it may take a few connections to get to where you want to go. So it takes some time, but they're available.
How much does a train cost if you wanted to go to like Florence or?
Yeah, it depends if you take the local or the high speed. So we just went to Venice yesterday. Carnival, they had opening night of Carnival. They had a boat parade and some stuff going on. So we went up there, had dinner, and just walked around. And it was $8 each way for one person. So $16 up, $16 back. So $32 round trip. And if we had taken the high speed for that short distance, it really wouldn't have saved that much time, but it would have cost $50. Now, if you go down to, a further distances, that high speed is going to make a difference in time. And and it can cost quite a bit more. So maybe you spend $30 if you take the local to Florence, but it takes you a couple hours. But if you take the high speed, it'll take you an hour and 20 minutes but it costs you twice as much. So you just kind of have to weigh it out each trip.
It depends what you want to do.
Yeah.
If you have the time. And if you're retired, you have the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, what do I need to rush?
Yeah.
But I understand. The more time you have without traveling, the more time you have at that place.
Yeah.
So, and you just did a day trip, right?
Yeah, we did a day trip. So the past week we did a day trip to Siena, which was 3 hours each way. We did a day trip to Padova, which was 30 minutes each way. And we did an evening trip to Venice, which was an hour each way.
Okay. Well, Venice was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hour. Can't beat that.
Yeah, yeah.
So is there any crime? Have you seen any crime? Or?
There is crime in Italy, for sure. And it generally happens in larger cities. But in Rovigo, I can honestly say I haven't seen any issues. You have to be cautious whenever there's a festival or a large event, or if you're
crowds.
Yeah, if you're near the train station. That seems to be where the
pickpockets.
Yeah, pickpockets and hustlers will show up, but not where you're going to get mugged or violently attacked. But you just have to be careful. And there's always these hustles that happen a lot in Europe where they'll push something on you, try to make you feel guilty, and won't leave you alone till you give them some money. That's about the worst crime that I've seen. I do know that it does get worse than that. If you go the further south in Italy, you go, the riskier it can be. There's more stuff that goes on. But in this part of Italy, not at all. We walked back. We got back on the train last night from Venice. We're walking through a well-lit town, passed by a few people, you know, walking around the city for whatever reason. It was Saturday night. And, you know, there wasn't anybody harassing us or approaching us, or we've never felt uncomfortable here.
And we're tough guys from the Northeast.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's gonna mess with us?
Yeah, yeah. I do pull out that. And then Kevin and I pull out that Northeast attitude when we get tired of those people approaching us, you know, like.
I do the resting bitch face.
Yeah.
Well, and they're like, whoa.
We had some guy come up to us and try to push some stuff on us when we were up in Padua a couple days ago. And you just, no, absolutely not. We're not interested. You just give them attitude and they just walk away.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Yeah, people have even passed me when I lived in New York City during lunchtime. Mark, didn't you see me? I was like passing you in lunch. But you kind of like.
RBF. This,
yeah, resting bitch face on. It's like nobody's going to F with you, you know? It's like, sorry.
Deep in thought.
I didn't notice. But kind of in New York, that's the kind of face that you don't want anybody messing with you because there's so many people that could do crazy things.
Yeah, but that's your biggest issue is how to, push those people away. And I'm sure that it can escalate, but I don't see that happening. I've always felt safe here, especially in Rovigo, but I felt safe in Europe in general and in Italy.
And they have gun laws, right? So guns are not allowed.
Don't know, to be honest. I'm not sure what the situation with guns in Italy, but I do know that there hasn't been any mass shootings in Italy this year. Not a single one.
There you go. That kind of tells it all.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
I mean, they do have hunting here, but no mass shootings.
Well, that's refreshing to hear. Yeah, it's crazy here, as you know. I mean, even in our neighborhood, somebody just drive-by shot somebody yesterday or 2 days ago. And it was like, wow, you really think that it's going to happen in your own neighborhood because you're safe here. It's your little safe place.
People often comment about moving outside of the United States because they're fearful of the unknown. But the people here think that Americans are crazy for living in that environment where the headlines every other day are
mass
gun
shootings.
Violence. Yeah. So it just depends on your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about healthcare. So what is that like? And do you need private insurance for the first year of residency as opposed to the public system? When can you get on the public system? And how is healthcare in general in Italy?
Healthcare in Italy is, it's written in their constitution that every citizen has the right to healthcare. And also that as a tourist, even if you don't have a residency here in Italy, if you were in a car accident, you get taken to the emergency room, you're not going to end up with a bill because they'll take care of you free of cost to get you patched up and then send you on your way. They're not going to take care of you for the rest of your life, but they will make sure that you're well taken care of. What we've experienced as we've slowly, we don't even have full access to healthcare yet, coming very soon. But what we've noticed is that accessing healthcare in Italy for a non-resident is very difficult. I did have to get some dental work done last fall, and I was able to get it through a dentist and pay privately, so I was able to do that. But to see a doctor, you have to go through the emergency room if you need something taken care of urgently. If you want to make an appointment with a local doctor, that's generally reserved only for people that have the national health care. If you go to the pharmacy and you need medication, say like I needed my cholesterol medication or Kevin needed some heart medication, we can go there and pay for the medication. And as a pharmacist, I can tell you that the costs are lower, even paying cash. Now, once we get into the healthcare and we've done our research and understand what this will mean for us, is that we will get access to good healthcare, comparable, if not better than the US on lots of different measures, but it's going to be difficult for us to navigate it first. We're going to have to understand how to set appointments and how that works. Your question about whether or not you need private insurance, you can get private insurance, but honestly, I'm not sure how that works. We've been able to just, we haven't had that many health issues. Yeah. So we've known that if we need to set money aside, we did set money aside for things that we planned well so that we would be able to get through this. And we didn't have a lot of healthcare costs come up, but any issues that we had, we were able to pay out of pocket. It wasn't ridiculous. Like it could be like, I hurt my foot. I had to get an X-ray and it cost me $80. I thought I broke it. And it's
probably cost $500.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. We've had little incidents that have come up with it, but the costs haven't been high. And now that we'll be in the healthcare system soon, we will have fees. There are sort of co-pays, but it's maybe like if you go into the emergency room to get assessed because you were in a car accident or whatever might have happened to you, you'll pay $20 or $30 for the initial fee. But anything that you need to get done at the hospital, you won't get a bill for. It's all covered in that $20 fee if you have the national health care. And then if you need to go get lab work done, there might be a $10 fee for that. But so there's little co-pays associated with it, but there's no $800 out of pocket or, you know, your 80-20 coverage until you reach 3,000.
So you're not going to go bankrupt. Yeah. For something, you can either right now pay it out of pocket or eventually get on the socialized medicine, the healthcare system.
Since we've been traveling to different countries, we've had a little bit different experience in other countries. So it is different in every country how they handle things. And so this is just Italy. I do know that you could potentially, we were talking to someone about this the other day, is that you can pay for private insurance that gives you access, sort of like the fast pass for Italian insurance. You could pay a couple $1,000 extra for this insurance per year. And it gives you access, additional access, faster access to doctors.
Quicker.
Yeah. So when you make appointments in the Italian healthcare system, you can do it traditionally or you can do it during the time that the doctor has set aside for private time. So there's a higher fee for that, but it sort of gets you an earlier appointment. But in this part of Italy, the healthcare is so efficient that if we pay that $2,000 a year, the times that we would come up where we would need to use that fast pass wouldn't be worth the extra cost. You can pay per visit for the fast pass, or you can pay per year for a fast pass. So we're just going to plan on if it comes up, we need to expedite a visit. We'll pay $70 more maybe for that additional visit and just deal with it then. So if we have to wait for a few weeks for a lab and it's not that important, then we'll wait a few weeks. But if it's something that we want to see a doctor right away because we
get the results.
Yeah, we're concerned about it, then we could get the fast pass. They do prioritize healthcare. It's not like they put everybody in a line. If you have a serious condition and you need to be seen right away, they'll put you at the head of the line.
Right. If you have something threatening,
yeah,
they're not going to say, okay, you have a 5-month wait.
No, the healthcare here is very, very good.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Pretty much all of Europe, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, certain places better than others.
Yeah, I even think the south of Italy versus the north of Italy, the south of Italy is not as good. I mean, that this is by admission of people that live here in Italy. It's just not as good as northern Italy.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. I think they don't have the number of doctors that they need per person, and it's just not as accessible. I'm not sure exactly why, but it's more chaos down there than it is in the north.
Understood. Okay. So do they have enough hospitals in Rovigo, or do you have to go outside of Rovigo?
Yeah, there's one big hospital in Rovigo. It's very huge. For 50,000 people, it's a huge, it looks like a huge city hospital. We've actually gone there before just to see, and it's huge. I think that's the only one in Rovigo. But again, we've been talking to Italians, trying to understand the healthcare system more. If somebody told us, oh, I've got a really good doctor for you to see for this issue in Venice, it's still in the Veneto region. So we can go onto the website and request an appointment, use our health card, our health identification number. We can request an appointment at that other doctor's office. It doesn't have to be, it's not like an HMO or you're limited to doctors in a certain area. You can go throughout the Veneto region, which is a large area. It stretches, I don't know how many miles, but it's big. There's probably 20 or 30 regions, or not regions. Yeah. I don't know how many regions in Italy, I should know, but it's a large region in Italy, Veneto region.
Okay. So you have one big hospital there, which is good in case of an emergency comes up. So yeah.
And plenty of doctors
and
dentists throughout the area. What will happen is we'll get assigned to a doctor, and then he'll triage us out to help us find the doctors that we need.
Do you need a translator with a situation like that, a hospital?
It's going to depend. I think when I went to the dentist, the receptionist spoke English, and the dentist spoke some, and the rest of the staff didn't. It'll just depend from office to office.
Yep. Gotcha. All right. What do you wish that was in Rovigo that you don't have that you might have had somewhere else?
So there's two things that I miss, or that there's one thing I miss and two things that, or another thing that we both miss. I miss Snyder's hard pretzels. You can't find the box of pretzels, Snyder's pretzels, so you can get the big fist sized pretzels that are hard. You can't find decent pretzels here. That's just not an Italian thing. They have some slim little stick pretzels, but that's it. And so I miss those. We both miss going to the movies. You can go to the movies in Italy, but in Italian.
Italian.
They do have, my understanding is that if you go to some of the larger towns, they'll have movies in the original language on certain days. So we're going to try to figure that out. But we went to go see Jurassic Park last year, and we'd spent some time in Croatia last year, and everything in Croatia, they keep in the original language. But here in Italy, because it's a big enough population, I guess they translate.
It's dubbed.
Yeah. So
it's dubbed.
Yeah. So we went to go see Jurassic Park, and we're both sitting there going, oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I would do the same. Yeah. Maybe you can find a movie theater that does do it in the original language, and then they have like subtitles in Italian.
Yeah.
I
know they exist, our language teacher
them.
Told us that they do exist. We don't look it up. So we'll figure that out.
You might have to go to Venice.
Yeah.
For that. So every time I go into the supermarket and see Snyder's pretzels, I'm going to think of you. If it was fast enough, I'd ship you a couple of.
The problem is if you ship, because friends have said that, if you send me a package with Snyder's pretzels, it's going to be a huge fee to send them over here. And then when they come into Italy, they charge you an import tax. I probably end up paying $30 or $40 to accept the package on top of what you had to do to ship it. So
do they have Amazon Italy?
Yeah. And we looked up pretzels, and they really don't have any that are available. Kevin looked up, they had some pretzels with peanut butter inside 46.
Oh, yum.
For a big container, the kind of Costco size container was all they had. And they only sold two, and they were $46 per container. So it was $90, $92 per container.
Not worth
it. Probably because they're shipping them in from somewhere and then selling them.
Yeah. You know what? Open up a pretzel place.
Kevin actually, he's so good. He actually has been trying to figure out how to make hard pretzels. So he had his first run through yesterday or this morning. And
that is so sweet.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good guy. So he made those for me. So we're going to try another round of them. They're really good, but they didn't. It was like a hard, soft pretzel rather than a hard pretzel. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm good. Next time I see Snyder pretzels, I'm definitely going to think of you. So we went over the visa program and what you're going through. Do you know if Italy has a golden visa program where you can actually purchase property, like $500,000, let's say, and once you do that, you become a resident? Do they have something like that?
What they have as far as a golden visa, from what I understand, I don't think that you're able to do property, but you're able to do investments.
Investments.
So $250,000 or $500,000 investment. You could do a $250,000 investment in a startup company, a tiny startup company, which is risky. Or you can do $500,000 in Italian bonds, I think it is, to get a golden visa. I don't know if that extends to a family visa. Like, so if that were an option and your partner wanted to come in, I guess that would be for the entire family.
I think usually it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do know they have those options.
I think I would go with the bonds if I was going to do anything else, because knowing me, I'm not lucky when it comes to investing.
Yeah.
in especially in startups.
Well, especially in Italy, because investing in a startup in Italy or in many European countries, there's so much bureaucracy that the likelihood they're going to get over all their hurdles to become successful is pretty low.
It's nil. Yeah.
There's a reason why there's not a lot of Silicon Valleys in Europe.
Yeah, I hear you. Do you know if they have you explored taxes at all? Like wealth tax or inheritance tax? I know, like for instance, Spain, Spain is made up of different autonomous regions, and each autonomous region basically does their own thing and has their own law as far as taxes are concerned. How does that work in Italy? Do you know?
I don't know about the wealth or inheritance taxes. It's not something I've explored yet, so I'm not sure.
Check into it.
Yeah.
It was eye-opening for me learning before, because we're thinking about going to Spain and we are traveling to check things out in September. And I contacted probably three different tax attorneys just to see what we're up against. And I got pretty much the same answer around the amount, but if inheritance tax could be an eye-opener, because in one autonomous region in Spain, you could pay X amount of dollars and it's a lot. And then another autonomous community, you can pay zero. So that's a big difference. So
we were able to find a tax attorney that we actually found his name through the U.S. Embassy website. And we've talked to him a couple times. When we get all our taxes together for this year, he's going to help us with U.S. and Italian taxes. And so he would be a good resource for us to find out more about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you said you did hire somebody so you'll have somebody for your taxes. You hired somebody for the real estate. So pretty much, to navigate the system, you recommend hiring different people.
Yeah. For different things. I mean, unless you're good with the language but another thing too. So we did go through all that and it worked out really well with the company that we used. And the tax attorney speaks English. So I'm sure that's not going to be an issue. And we also hired somebody to help us. And this was also through the real estate office. We paid additional money for this to help us set up all our utilities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, water, electricity, all that stuff. So it's not only
do the same.
Yeah, it's not only set up, but it's automatically being deducted from our account.
Oh, cool.
And we also have a checking account here, and we can transfer money from our U.S. account to this Italian account also.
Oh, how do you do that? So I'm curious.
Yeah.
Because I use Wise.
TransferWise. You can.
Do you do TransferWise? Yeah, okay.
Because otherwise we'd have to be in the bank branch and Chase signing papers every time.
Yeah. So I opened up a Wise account, and actually I became an affiliate of Wise for the podcast. So if new members or new customers of Wise click on my link on my website at www.wheretogatesretire.com, at the bottom of the website, there's a banner, and you click that, you can get up to $600 of free transfers when you join Wise.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yep. So it's, to me, Wise is great because it's a really inexpensive way to transfer funds from US dollars to any other currency. And I don't know if you have, but I think you have to purchase the debit card, but I have the debit card. So you could actually use the Wise debit card in any currency. So if I was in Italy and I had Italian, I don't know what the currency is in Italy.
It's a euro.
Euro. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Duh.
It's okay.
So
it's euro. It's not clear because not every EU country is using the euro. But anyway, go ahead.
Yep. So I actually transferred already, let's say $100 from my US dollars to euro. So if I use my debit card, my Wise debit card in Europe using euro, it's just a done deal. I'm paying in euros. You can pay kind of in any currency, and it's cheaper to pay in the currency that you're currently in.
Right.
For that. So I think Wise is a great,
great
vehicle.
We're using that. So we can transfer in and out of accounts through our apps within the United States and then transfer and transfer Wise. And then you sort of figure out, well, if I have a big purchase or like, say we had a big, like we've had these big lawyer fees to pay and they sent us a PayPal, we could pay with a US credit card. And you sort of have to do the math to see, okay, well, I'm using this card. It doesn't have a fee. And then do you have to, and then what's the exchange and what's the TransferWise fee? And so you have to figure it all out.
Figure it out. But I would go with the TransferWise, the Wise, as opposed to even the credit card that doesn't charge you an international transaction fee.
Yeah.
I guess they have to be around the same.
Yeah. But we've done it quite a few times with TransferWise, and it takes a few days, but it works out just fine.
Yeah. Perfect. So do you keep most of your assets still in the US and you have like a little bank account?
Yeah, we can't. Italy? So we're both too young to touch our retirement accounts yet. And so they have to sit in the US, but we keep a checking account in the US too. And then we keep some money in there. And then we have a checking account here too.
Okay. Excellent. So in living there, are there any cons besides pretzels?
The negative side of being in Rovigo, I'd be hard pressed to tell you what that would be. I think the negative during the last year for us has been, it's an adjustment. It's definitely an adjustment, you know, whether you move from state to state in the US, which we've done, both done, or you're moving here to Italy. It's an adjustment. And then it was also an adjustment without a car, getting used to the idea of walking. But that's been a huge positive. So I would say the negative of living in Europe, living in a new place in Europe, is the adjustment. I mean, everything's been positive. There's a negative. We've run across, we don't like the burgers here. They're terrible. Burgers in Italy, they advertise the heck out of them, no matter where you go. We've tried 4 or 5 different places, and they're no good. So,
no good.
Yeah, the burger, but I mean, that's not that bad. And the riding the trains, we've learned that you have to be prepared for potential strikes. So they do public transportation strikes. I think they do them throughout Europe.
Yeah.
And we found a website that outlines what's going on in strikes, whether they're regional, national, whether they're airlines, trains, or buses.
Yeah.
And so we've learned because we got caught three times during the last year in a situation where we got caught in the middle of a strike and the system just stops. But they're required to notify before it happens. So you can go on a website and see what scheduled strikes are. And so you just make sure you're not riding the train that day. And so we've been checking that, not had problems anymore. But that can be a negative.
Something to get used to. Yeah. Something to get used to for sure. So what would you say to our audience if they're thinking about moving to Italy and moving to Rovigo to be your neighbor?
Yeah.
Bring pretzels.
Yeah, bring pretzels for sure. I think that Rovigo is a safe, culturally rich town with great fresh local food and easy access to the rest of the country. I feel very comfortable as a gay couple. We feel very comfortable. If you are coming here for high, you know, excitement, you can find in Italy. If you want to go where there's, you know, a party atmosphere, that's not here in Rovigo. It's very calm and quiet, and there's lots of
family.
Yeah, there's lots of social interaction. People every night, 7 nights a week, are walking. You know, they do the passeggiata, which is walking the streets. That's a common thing in Europe, no matter where you go, whether it's Spain or Italy or Croatia. People like to get out at night and and enjoy the outside. And that's something that you would definitely, that if that's something that appeals to you, then this is the right town for you.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thank you so much for being a guest, Daniel. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and best of luck to you and
Kevin,
and your partner.
Yeah.
And Kevin, in Rovigo. And keep us updated. Definitely. I'd love to hear, you know, what's going on with you. If we're friends on Facebook, just drop me a PM one of these days. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And we'll talk soon.
All right. All right. Thanks again for your time. And thanks from both Kevin and I.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.